Hello, Poke fans. Welcome to the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, or Stabcast for short, your twice-monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. I'm your host, Trainer Spike, and with me, as always, are my fellow trainers, Slykick,
Trio,
and Sulker.
Hi, kid. Do you want to see my Pokemon?
Today is October 21st, 2016, and this is Stab Podcast, Episode 7, Pokemon Sun and Moon Demo and Leak. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of our venture into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. This week, Trainer Spike, me, will be leading a discussion about the Pokemon Sun and Moon demo, as well as the associated megaton of leaks, without spoilers. But first, let's talk about our Poke Weeks. Sulker, you go first.
You're gonna talk about demos on leaks, but I think demo on fleek can describe my... Oh god, did I really just say fleek on air?
You did.
Okay, we'll gloss over that from here on out. At any rate, I did play the demo. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Otherwise, I was playing mostly Pokemon Red this week, catching up on the anime for our anime discussions, and watching Pokemon Generations.
Fantastic. And Slaggy, what about you?
Yeah, my experience was mostly with the Pokemon demo. I had a bit of a scare where I thought I had lost my new Nintendo 3DS, which has all of my Pokemon Y save data, and it also had the Pokemon X cart in it, so
Snap.
Yeah, and my even though I don't have a lot yet, it has my Pokemon Yellow save data. So I had a bit of a scare, but I found it, and so I was able to go and get the Darkrai on my Y. I'd already gotten a Darkrai earlier in the year on my X game, so it wouldn't let me use it. And I got Keldeo on both of them, so it feels good to know that my 3DS is secure and that I have Pokés ready for transferring into Moon.
That is awesome. And I'm glad that that story has a happy ending, because when you think you've lost everything, that is just so tragic. For me, my Poke Week was largely watching Pokemon anime to catch up and playing through the demo myself. So I'm eager to talk about that. Let's get this show moving forward and talk about our Muse, or Poke News. Sulker, you want to get us started?
Sure thing. A new Sun and Moon Premium Trainer Box will release in Japan on December 9th. The box will cost about 5,000 yen, which is about 50 American dollars, and comes with 10 packs each of Collection Sun and Collection Moon.
Boosters, that is.
Yes. A deck box, a coin, damage and condition markers, a set of 64 card sleeve, a GX marker, and 154 additional cards consisting of 46 trainer cards and 108 energy cards. So it sounds like this is going to be a great value that I'm going to invest in pretty quickly.
Fantastic. This is releasing in Japan on December 9th. For the North American release, I would expect it in, what are they saying? This line is going to start here in February, I think it was? March?
I didn't see that anywhere listed online, but we can look into that further and get back to it on the next episode.
Well, I guess I was mainly just looking at when we're getting the other sets, because it looks like this is coming out just a couple of weeks after the Japanese sets go on sale, that December 9th date. So I hope that we follow a similar timeline.
I think that would be great and preferable for my life.
Right? We also have word here coming out of VentureBeat, which, you know, they sort of look at the tech world from more of a economics standpoint and, you know, investing. And they noted that on the iOS App Store and Google Play App Store, Pokemon Go is now the fastest game ever to make it to the $600 million consumer spending mark. Yeah, and that is by 2.5 times faster than its nearest competition, which is Candy Crush Saga. So while I know that a lot of people bag on PokeGo, you know, that it's slowly dying or quickly dying, fading away, people are losing interest, you know, you might not be wrong in a larger sense, but as far as the money goes, it is still flowing in.
And that's impressive considering how much time has passed since its original inception. So that's great news to hear for our PokeWorld.
Indeed. Slaggy, I think you have one for us?
Yeah, we have some details about the Vikavolt and the Vikavolt promo from Collection Sun and Collection Moon.
Ooh.
If you buy a booster box, you will get a promo Vikavolt with alternate art. They're both really cool. Vikavolt has 150 HP and has the ability Strong Charge, which lets you search your deck once during your turn before you attack for a grass energy and lightning energy and attach them to your Pokemon any way you like.
Oh, dang.
Shuffle your deck afterwards.
Wow.
And then for one lightning damage and three colorless, Electro Cannon does 150 damage, but you have to discard three energy attached to the Pokemon.
Oh, so that ability makes a little more sense in light of that. Because discarding three energy, you'll burn through your deck pretty quick that way.
Yeah, so it looks like the ability helps kind of make up for the fact that you have to discard the energy, but it's still a pretty cool card. And I mean, I don't know what Vikavolt's going to be like in game, or Chargerbug, or you know, the associated family, but I think they're pretty cool Pokemon, just you know, from what we know about them. So
yeah, and this is the kind of card I feel that people are probably going to design decks around. So definitely very exciting stuff. Solker, I think you had the last topic for us today.
I sure do. So we have news that a new line of Mario and Luigi themed Poke merch will be available at the Pokemon Center shoppers or Pokemon Centers in Japan. These Mario and Luigi themed Pokemon gear will include a Pikachu that is dressed up as either Mario or Luigi, Mario themed Pokemon trading cards, game cases, keychains, notebooks, and more, notably a t-shirt and a 3DS cover. For now, the set has only been confirmed for Japan, but will hopefully retail in America at some point soon.
It's so cute.
Right? I want all of them. What about you guys?
Is that a new 3DS cover or just an old school 3DS? Oh, I guess old school 3DS doesn't have covers. So yeah, I think I kind of need to get this cover for my new 3DS.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Solker, what about you?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely going to at least invest in the TCG cards.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I'll be getting anything to replace my 3DS cover since I'm kind of in love with the 20th anniversary version that I bought.
Something I was noting is that the collectible cards for the card game, like, they have completely different text on them. So that's actually going to be really interesting to see how that turns out.
Yeah, and I noticed that there was also just a regular set of playing cards within the set. So I think that's also just a cute little touch to, like, give your cousin if they're not interested in, like, playing the TCG for whatever reason.
And, you know, really goes back to Nintendo's history as a playing card developer.
It does, actually. Yeah, you're quite astute, Slagkick.
I sort of need the Mario and the Luigi plush, though. They're so cute.
Absolutely. All right, well, since we
they
just
should have made a plus one mine in, though.
Yeah,
anyway.
Probably. So since we just did an episode last week, we are going to keep this as a short episode this week. So I want to get right into this discussion. And, you know, this discussion is a big one. It is a very contentious discussion. Poke spoilers are very serious business.
Very serious
I want to establish right now, we are not going to talk about any specific spoilers. We are going to keep this conversation spoiler free. I just want to talk a little bit about the mechanics of what actually happened with regard to this leak, or what it actually is more appropriate, a hack slash data mine. But first, something I do want to establish, who among us has looked at the spoilers?
Me.
I have not.
Excellent. Solker, I apologize for the fact that there are spoilers on my screen right now. You can just not look at them.
Too late, so thanks for that.
Sorry.
I mean, at least the spoilers that were on your screen were ones that we had possibly known about for a while, so.
Yeah. Those specific ones had a leak much, much earlier, like months ago. But either way, Solker, I'd recommend you not look at my monitor because I'm going to scroll through this article that we're going to link over on Kotaku. We'll link you to it from our site, stabcast.org.
Stabcast.org.
And basically, the TLDR here is that the Pokemon Sun and Moon demo went live this past week. Immediately, fans started uploading the data from their 3DSs with custom firmware and what have you onto their computers. They cracked the encryption that the files were saved as. That is actually a tech that has been a thing for a long time. You may recall previously I think
Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire demo?
Exactly so. That demo had previously been hacked and data mined. And so something that's very interesting actually is that Nintendo took a lot of steps to try and avoid this happening. All of the stats for the new Pokies, we don't know. We don't even know all of their types. We just know what they look like. And that's because Nintendo actually dummied all of that data out by just copying Pikachu's stats onto every Pokemon in the download demo version, other than the Pokemon that actually appear in a regular playthrough.
What? I didn't know that. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, right? Well, that's actually why I wanted to talk about it. And in fact, you know, most of the actual models of Pokemon in the demo are also not actually the proper art assets. All that we've really seen leak are actually the shinies for the vast majority of the new Pokies because, and this is funny, they dummied out all of the data for the normal Pokies. Stuff like that evolve that already do appear in the normal demo, all of them do have all of their forms present. present, but for every other Pokey in the game, they've been dummied out. But unfortunately, Game Freak, Nintendo, PokeCo, and et al. Never thought to dummy out the shiny art assets, so they're all still in the demo.
Womp.
Yeah, womp womp is right. Like, it's just such a funny oversight that you would go to all of these means to, you know, do all of this to obscure data, and then one of the, like, obvious things to do, you just totally blanked on. So that's something that I actually find really funny, frankly. As a result, and that's why, you know, I've seen a lot of people talk about, like, typings of even, like, the final evolutions. We actually don't know what that is. We do now know what the final evolutions of the starter Pokemon look like in-game. A lot of people are making a lot of assumptions based on their designs as to what they think their typings are going to turn out to be. But we don't actually know because that data was dummied out in the demo.
I mean, you could possibly assume that the Rowlet evolution is going to stay grass flying, but you never know.
Yeah, well, exactly, exactly. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people assume that Litten becomes is going to be fire fighting. I'm personally team fire dark. It could go either way. But the interesting thing to me is that, you know, for the kinds of spoilers that I would be concerned about, that data is actually not leaked. We don't know how these things are going to grow stat-wise. We don't know how viable any of the new Pokies are going to be stat-wise. We have no idea.
We don't know
their
move sets or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can be like, oh, that Sandygast is going to be useless because it has a weak defense or whatever.
Yeah, we have no idea. We do not know. And that, to me, is just a really interesting position for us to be in because for someone like me, you know, I do find the visuals of the Pokies very interesting, but the stuff that I don't want to know, the stuff that I would prefer to find out on my own, I'm actually still going to get to do that, and I'm actually really happy, ultimately. Another thing, though, that did leak, and again, I'm not going to go into the details, we do now have all kinds of confirmation about the overall arc of the game, number of, like, cities and stuff that people are going to go into, you know, as far as, like, some of the cool customization for individual Pokies that we might have. Everyone does now know exactly what Ultra Beasts are and what some more of them are going to look like.
Some of us don't know what they are or what they look like because they're recording this episode with their eyes closed.
Yeah, and like I said, please don't look at my monitor because I am not trying to spoil this for anyone. I totally appreciate and respect people who do not want this stuff spoiled. I just think it's really interesting, you know, that we have so much data, but in a way, we still don't have very much data. And for me, again, it actually just makes me even more excited to have the actual game in my hands. With that having been said, Slaggy, let's start with you. What do you think of the leak? With no spoiler talk.
You know, I mean, I feel like these things are almost sort of inevitable. I mean, data mining is a thing that in the gaming community we come to expect with a lot of stuff. I mean, like someone coming from the World of Warcraft fandom and community, I'm used to like data mining like all the time. So I guess that maybe kind of changes my perception of like, you know, leaks and such. I'm glad that not everything was spoiled. And I mean, I guess the thing is that like, you know, I was the type of kid, or I say kid, but you know, like teen, who went out and bought the like EGM issue that had the Japanese Pokédex for gold and silver. So like, I mean, I was thirsty for information all the time. So.
Oh yeah, same here. And correct me if I'm wrong, you did look at the leaks.
I did.
Without spoilers, overall, what do you think of the new Pokies?
I think they're cool.
Awesome.
And I without spoiling anything, I think it helped me make a decision on who my starter is going to be.
Okay, that's awesome. Now, Sulker, you are spoiler-free, and I do respect that.
Pure as the driven snow.
So what bits of the spoilers that you have caught, do any of them have you excited for the game?
Well, I've only seen the ones on your screen, so yes? I mean, I was always going to be Team Litten, regardless of what its final form looked like, because I always pick fire, so I don't care what its final form looks like. It's a cute baby kitten that'll one day turn into something else.
Yes.
As far as how I feel about the leak in general, I think it's Vileplume and an oddish way to go about it.
Ah! That was a Blossom pun.
Thank you. So, I don't know. I just don't really care for looking into data. I want to experience it fresh from the start. I'll probably end up looking at most of this stuff like midway through my playthrough anyways once I get lost, because invariably I get lost. It happens in every version of the game. I really don't... Okay, you don't have anything on your screen. I can keep my eyes open. It's been weird recording without my eyes.
I bet.
Now you know how Brock feels.
I want you to leave in this silence because I want you to know how much I hate Slag Kick.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to edit that silence out because that was like literally a minute and a half. But go on.
Well, I guess that's all I have to say about it.
All right. Well, so did you guys hear about the additional things that have happened since then, since this demo was dumped and ripped and hacked?
That sounds violent.
Well, so basically, first off, via emulators, people have now cranked up the internal resolution of the game, run it at much higher resolutions. All of the art assets have held up. They look gorgeous in HD.
Ooh.
Which is actually spawning its own speculations, but we won't talk about that this week. I wanted to hear from you guys, though. Obviously, the game has been hacked, and in the demo, people have already injected custom pokies, hacked stats. So that scene is very much going to be alive in Sun and Moon from day one. Now, I'm generally not a fan of that, although I think that for people who use morals and just use these hacks like, I want a Mew, and there's not going to be a distribution for a long ass time, I want a Mew, I don't get that salty about that. How do you guys feel about the fact that this game, Sun and Moon, is going to be hacked on day one? And we started with Slagkick first last time. Sulker, your turn.
I think that I personally don't care about how other people play their copies of the game. If it affects online play, I would be a little bit bitter about it. I don't think that I'll be spending a whole lot of time doing competitive online fights. I do generally early days like to play a couple matches just to kind of see what other people are using and what kind of techniques they're going with, and so that I can improve my in-game play when I'm going to challenge the Final Four, Elite Four usually, but who knows what's going to happen this time. Well, I mean everybody else but me. So that's how I feel about that. How about you, Slagkick?
Yeah, I mean, hacker's going to hack. I don't hack Pokemon. I mean, I say that, but back in the very, 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 very early days, I did Game Shark or whatever, one of my extra copies. But I mean, in general, I try to experience Pokemon as pure as I can. So, you know, I hope that Nintendo doesn't punish everyone. So that's it.
Punish how?
I mean, I don't know. You know how Nintendo can be sometimes. Like, no soup for you.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of can be. I do get that.
Dear Nintendo overlords, please forgive us.
So, Sulker, here on my screen is, for example, I was talking about where people cranked up the internal resolution. This is a Doug Trio. That looks great, right?
I mean, it does, but it also reminds me of the 90s, and I just want to bop to it. But yeah, aside from the weird Hansen hair, I really love how it looks in HD, and I hope that we can switch it up in the future.
Well, and that is exactly what a lot of people are thinking, that, you know, this the graphics scale up so well and so relatively easily that a lot of people feel like there's got to be something to that long term, and I am somewhat inclined to agree. Slaggy, have you seen this?
I have. It looks glorious. And I mean, we already know a little bit which we're going to be talking about on Game Buoy, but so I'm guessing that we're going to, you know, what we're thinking is maybe some sort of port, since, you know.
Hey, third version, man.
Oh, okay. That too.
Sun, Moon, and Earth?
I mean,
Pokemon Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Could be Pokemon Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, Venus.
Uranus. Don't you know my Ash is famous?
Wow, you recovered that. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
All right, well, unless anyone else has anything else to talk about the hack and what have you, I'd like to start talking about the actual demo.
Well, why don't you give us your impressions of it?
All right, well, the TLDR for me is that I think the demo's fantastic. I'm way more excited for Sun and Moon now than I was before, and I was already considerably excited. A lot of the quality of life changes are just stunning, make the game move so much faster, play so much easier and more user-friendly. I'm really very pleased about it. Something else that I really need to note is that, like, all of the UI overhaul stuff is phenomenal.
Oh, it's super gorge.
Like, you get so much more information at a glance, and it just looks better. It is, like, the best of all worlds. I really liked the story, such as it is, unique to this demo. Thought there were some really interesting Pokemon deep lore bits for the Pokemon deep lore folks. Already seen a lot of speculation about the role Ash may be playing in the backstory of Sun and Moon based on the demo. So I'm very, very interested in what that is going to mean moving forward, since as we saw with Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. I always transpose those. Thank you very much, Slykick. You know, where that actually did have plot relevance moving forward, I think a lot of people are expecting that of the Sun and Moon demo as well, and I'm very excited about it, especially Ash Greninja. How rad is that?
Oh, it's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sulker, what about you? What did you think?
My thoughts mostly mirror your thoughts on this. I would probably say I really love the UI changes to the battle system. Being able to look at a glance and tell what's effective, what's super effective, and what's not very effective at all is actually going to change up the way a lot of people play when they're against types that they don't really know.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And with as many type combinations as there are already, that is a literal game changer. I do have one complaint, that the little coffee shop in the Pokemart or Pokecenter is not open. I think that is a rude way to treat someone who loves coffee as much as I do. But you know what? They'll be open in a month, so I'll just go there. I'll have my little card ready to buy whatever else I can and give my little Pikachu a pick-me-up.
Excellent. And, you know, on that note, I do have to note, for people who only played the demo once, you are missing so much content. You can load the demo back up after that first playthrough, and there's a ton of new stuff and additional stuff that you can see and interact with. And, in fact, there are a bunch of hidden events that the Poke community still haven't found all of. So, definitely some really interesting stuff going on there. Slaggy, what about you? Your demo impressions?
I thought it was great. I love that we got to see Professor Kukui in action. I like that he's always going, woo! In all seriousness, though, I loved that it was like a Pokemon Snap game, basically.
What you're referring to there is the trial system, I believe?
Yeah, so that this particular trial was basically a game of Pokemon Snap. You had to take pictures of Jangmo-O and the other one. And
the other one.
And I thought it was a really cool way to show, you know, that there's going to be a lot of different things to this game. I mean, you can really see that they're changing up. I really like the subtle, but I almost found it like more than subtle, change with, like, you know, the characters are more like regularly proportioned now. And it actually, it just feels like, you know, it helps the visual upgrades seem more striking, even though XY already looks really good.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that is, to me, very interesting. Did anyone here play on an old 3DS?
I did, in fact, because I can't get my new 3DS to work it yet.
Boo.
Oh,
but
weird.
That does lead to an interesting question. I've heard that the old 3DS running this demo has some occasional like frame drops and issues. Did you have any performance issues?
I never have performance issues, let's be clear. But also with my DS, no, nothing weird happened. It played normally. I've never seen anything that could indicate any weird glitches, so I'm going to keep playing it and I'll let you know, but I don't think so.
And there was no like graphical like slowdown or choppiness while rotating a camera or while summoning Pokies or anything. It stayed like locked at 30 or 60 frames a second?
As far as I could tell, yeah.
Okay, excellent then. Because I have heard people say otherwise, but placebos can be a very powerful thing. You can, you know, you convince yourself that it's not going to run right on your old 3DS and you start to see things. I can say for my part, I played on the new 3DS and it ran way better than like Pokemon XY, which I did feel had some occasional frame rate issues. And the funny thing to me is that, you know, there's so much more going on visually. The graphics have gotten a real upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
During the fights, you know, you still see your trainers in the background.
Yeah.
Which actually, to me, really added to the sense of this being a fight in the universe of Pokemon. I was really impressed by that small visual tweak. I felt it had a huge impact on the atmosphere of the game.
Well, especially with the addition of Z-moves, I think that's an important little bit to add, because otherwise your Pokemon trainer is just kind of running onto screen just for the Z-moves and then disappearing. I hope that they, because I haven't done any, I don't think that you can do any competitive battling with the demo, so I hope that that stays along and like as far as online competitions go.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I haven't heard otherwise, so I'm going to assume. Does anyone else have anything else they want to say about the Sun and Moon demo?
I have to say, between this and the Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire demo, I love that they've taken, instead of just being like, oh, you can play the first town or whatever, you know, like they created a unique experience both times. And I think that's a really cool way to, you know, make the demo worthwhile. And also, you know, the fact that you get I almost said shiny, but it's not a shiny, but a nice Ash Greninja to bring over to your game. I mean, I love that. I mean, first of all, it's a different experience, so it's kind of a unique play experience, but also you get a reward for it. So, I mean, like, how could I not love that?
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, with that having been said, then it is time to move on to the next portion of the show. Because we are trying to keep this short, we just did an episode last week, and we're typically a bi-weekly show. For the anime segment, we are only discussing two regular episodes and one episode of Generations. And Sulker, that's you this week.
It sure is. Today we'll be discussing episodes 20 and 21 of Pokemon X and Y, Breaking Tile, or I'm going to start that up. Today we will be discussing episodes 20 and 21 of Pokemon X and Y, the anime, Breaking Titles at the Chateau, and A Pokevision of Things to Come. We'll begin with episode 20, which features the Battle Chateau. Ash and his friends make his way to the Battle Chateau. They participate in some matches at the Battle Chateau. They wait for the battle between Viola and the city's gym leader, Grant, or Solage City's gym leader, Grant. In this episode, we feature two brothers, Nico and Chester, who start off with some incredibly awkward rapping when he encounters our adventuring trainers.
I was dying of laughter.
I was like, what?
Yeah, it was pretty awful, but also pretty hilarious.
Yep.
So they inform the team about what's going on with the Battle Chateau. It's a place where people basically sign up to go have honorable Pokemon duels. Each person that goes to the Chateau is considered a knight and expected to adhere to the Knight's Code of Chivalry and Honor. Nico has already earned his Baron title and wants to introduce Chester, his little brother, to the Chateau. Nico and his partner Fletchinder battle a Baron by the name of Farrell.
She's up all night to get some.
And his Dust Noir. Nico earns the title of Viscount after defeating this chump. And then Ash and Chester have a one-on-one battle with Pikachu versus Fletchling. Chester's Fletchling makes a valiant effort, but Pikachu is triumphant and Ash becomes a Baron. While they're there, they run into Gym Leader and Duchess Viola, who Ash previously
battled. She got that
milk
bunny.
Who also frequents the Battle Chateau. After snapping a photo of Ash, she receives a vote or a challenge of her own. Duke Grant and his Onix battle Viola and her Surskit, but thanks to some impressive training, the Onix manages to keep up with the otherwise speedy Surskit, and Grant wins, earning the highest title of Grand Duke. And it comes out that he's actually the gym leader for Solage City.
Ooh, what a twist!
What are your guys' thoughts on this episode?
So, I liked it a lot. I laughed a ton at all of the awkward rapping. I'm sure that I wasn't enjoying it the way they intended me to enjoy it, but in the end of the day, I was smiling and having a good time. I thought the combat sequences were fantastically animated, which is par for the course for XY, and largely due to the lack of Team Rocket in this episode, I felt like so much happened. The episode flew by, I really enjoyed it, and for me, this is one of the high episodes of the season so far. What about you, Slaggy?
Yeah, the rapping was like, what? I assume that there was some sort of, slang or, you know, I'm not necessarily meaning slang, more like some sort of dialect or, you know,
dialect, I think, is the exact word you're looking for.
In Japan, and they chose to translate it in that way. I was looking up, apparently Nico and Chester are named Nikola and Tesla in Japan.
Oh, that's actually kind of cute.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Except why did they not have Electro-type Pokemon? But anyway,
this one time, I'm going to agree with you, man.
I think that it was overall a really enjoyable episode. I like that it featured the Battle Chateau. I think Grant is awesome. But I love when there are like things from the game in the anime, and Battle Chateau was one. And there was also no Team Rocket nonsense. It actually made me want to go back, because I usually don't do like the Battle Mansion sort of thing. There was one during Diamond and Pearl, I think, like the Battle Plateau or something, or that might have been even during Generation 3. I can't really remember, because I don't really do those sorts of things, but this made me want to go and do the Battle Chateau.
Cool. Sulker, do you want to get us on this next episode?
Sure. Episode 21, A Pokevision of Things to Come. After watching a popular celebrity making a Pokevision video with her Pokemon, Serena tries to make one with her Fennekin. I have a lot less notes on this episode, as I feel it's a pretty straightforward, fun episode.
I would call it a fluff piece.
Yeah, that's probably accurate, especially since that Fennekin is so fluffy.
Mm.
At any rate, the episode essentially takes place in a sequence of events that follows the team as they try to take videos of Serena and her Fennekin, as well as a side story featuring Clement and Bonnie, as Bonnie is trying to make a video to sell off her brother, because, you know, that's what she does. Ash goes off with his Pokemon to talk about, hey, how can we go and beat Grant in this next couple of episodes? Doesn't really come up with a full plan. We end up getting a focus on Fennekin in this episode, which is something that I had previously kind of predicted.
Yep, you called it.
So, I mean, it's not hard to piece together Chespin, Froakie, then Fennekin. We learned that Fennekin, I mean, we already knew that Fennekin didn't like to get dirty, but gosh.
Super prissy.
Yeah, I was going to say stuck up, but that about works. When it comes down to it, Team Rocket shows up. Yes, I know you guys hate it.
I don't hate Team Rocket. I just see value in variety and mixing it up from time to time.
Yeah, and especially this time they dressed up like celebrities and
okay.
They tried to, like, you know, take Pokemon from the people.
Okay, I lost it when Jesse was like, acting.
No, I did too. I was cackling.
Yeah. Long story short, Jesse decides that she's way more interested in doing Pokevision stuff after they've successfully, for the umpteenth time, captured Pikachu, Dedenne, and Fennekin. While she is doing this, she sets off a little rain thing, sort of, with a fan and a hose. It's a whole mess. And the team shows up. They're like, give us back our Pokemon. She's like, whatever, I don't care. I'm making a video. Go away.
Right. I was cackling at that.
Pikachu and Dedenne get away real quick because they're not afraid of water because electric types. And Fennekin's like, OMG, I'll get dirty if I walk in this water. It's muddy. Serena realizes that her Pokemon's in trouble, runs forward, gets attacked by Inkay, and then ends up getting saved by Fennekin because she proved her love to Fennekin, so it learned Flamethrower at like level 6. So all in all, that's about what that episode covered. Any other thoughts on this one, guys?
I thought it was interesting that they swerved from a episode with no Team Rocket to an episode that was like Team Rocket is on screen for more than half of this episode.
Yeah.
I do think they went a little much, but I will agree with you that at least the Team Rocket stuff that we got this week or in this episode was really funny. I did really enjoy it. And again, because we just had an episode with no Team Rocket, it actually didn't really bother me. It's just noteworthy to me, but I was actually here for it. I cackled, I laughed, I was into it. And to me, it shows the value of just mixing it up a little from time to time.
Yeah,
that's right. Generations, episode 3, The Challenger. Red's rival, Blue, faces off against the Pokemon League in order to become the champion rival. Blue faces off against the Pokemon League in order to become champion. That description repeated itself.
It sure did. That was not on me. That was how it was on Wikipedia.
All right, then. In any case, we get to see the Elite Four for probably the real first time in Generations and any OVA sense. So that's Lance, Agatha, and the other two.
And the other two.
We get to see basically clips of their fights, if that's their first Pokemon or their last Pokemon, and Blue/Gary/Green makes his way all the way to the top of the Pokemon League, becoming the Pokemon champion well ahead of Red. And by well ahead of Red, I mean by the time he's sitting down, Red is walking it. So I thought that this was an excellent episode. I know that a lot of people maybe didn't care for it. I'm getting mixed reviews online about how people feel about Generations. Some people think that it's great because it's little vignettes into the world of the games. Other people were hoping for more original content. I think that this is a kind of good mix of the two, in that we're getting to see Blue's journey a little bit more than we did in the game.
My one issue with this episode of Generations is I feel like it should have been twice as long so that we could have seen more of the awesome fight sequences.
I agree. I think that that's a big thing that I want out of Generations, but they're not necessarily giving us with the limited time that they're making each episode. It makes sense. I don't know why they don't just make them all 10-minute or, say, like 30-minute episodes. I would watch them. I know that the fans would watch them.
Yeah, there's an audience that's, you know, and I wonder if it has to do with the fact that, at least to date, there's no way to pay for these. So these are not, you know, they're promotional, effectively. They're not making a great deal of money off them.
I mean, they're still getting some ad revenue, being on YouTube primarily, but and nickel and dime. How do you feel about this one, Slag?
I thought it was good. It's just, you know, these first couple of ones felt more like deleted scenes from
Origins.
So, which is welcome, but you know, I have to say you'll be able to talk, get more excited about Generations as we are going to catch up to the more current ones, because you know, it's stuff we have not seen in Origins.
Excellent. All right. Anything else, anyone?
No, I think that's it, and I believe we are now on to our Pokemon of the Week, if you want to take that away, Slackick.
Yeah, so our Pokemon of the Week is Dugtrio, number 51, the Mole Pokemon, and a Ground-type Pokemon. Japanese name is also Dugtrio. The original Pokedex entry was a team of Diglett triplets. It triggers huge earthquakes by burrowing 60 miles underground. And in the anime, its first appearance was in Dig Those Diglett, where it worked with a bunch of Diglett to plant trees in a forest. It also appeared in the anime episodes The Underground Roundup, which, again, partnered with Diglett and helps to get rid of an Electrode. There were some Dugtrio in an oasis in Got Meltink, and there was a Hoenn League trainer, Katie, who used a Dugtrio in Shocks and Bonds, and it actually defeated Ash's Pikachu, but was defeated by Ash's Glalie. And it appeared in the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers of Time and Darkness and Explorers of Sky Beyond Time and Darkness as well. And in the XY episode, Making Friends and Influencing Villains. So we'll have to look forward to that. It appeared in the Pokemon Adventures manga in Long Live the Nidoqueen as a Pokemon of Giovanni's. And
excellent.
It also appeared in the chapter Can You Diglett, where some of them evolved into Dugtrio. In Super Smash Brothers Brawl, you can see Dugtrio in the Pokemon Stadium 2 stage, where they're in the ground terrain next to a large rock, along with Cubone and some Pokemon fossils. I, of course, decided to feature Dugtrio as our Pokemon of the Week because of its gorgeous new blonde locks. I think it's hilarious. I know a lot of people are like thinking it's ridiculous, but I love that. I mean, you know, I love that the art designers seem to be having a lot of fun with these Alolan forms. I mean, you have Exeggutor, who has like a 30-foot tall neck or whatever, and now these Dugtrio with blonde surfer dude hair. I think it's perfect.
See, you're like blonde surfer dude hair, and I'm like, that looks like Joanne the Scammer's wig, okay?
See, I think it looks like Joanne the Lady Gaga album's hair. Put little pink hats on them.
And the funny other thing that people have noted is that if you can get Dugtrio to pop up, Alolan Dugtrio to pop up in the demo, which is a thing, and you can get it to pop up shiny, the color of the Dugtrio changes, the wig does not change color.
Yes.
So a lot of people feel like that is an indication because it doesn't change color. It is not actual hair. That is a wig.
Girl.
Is that a lace front?
No, that's some Party City nonsense.
Oh,
somebody
girl.
Better call Roxy.
So,
yeah, take that wig off.
I guess we're moving on to our link cables now.
It is time.
This week we said, want to hear about the big PokeLeaks without spoilers? Then we have the show for you. Related, what are your thoughts on leaks and spoilers? Our Pokemon of the Week is Dugtrio. Are you a fan of this fabulous threesome? Do you like the Alolan form's new blonde locks? Your Enzyme responded with a comic, which features what looks to be Nintendo execs saying, all right, gentlemen, we need another Alolan form. Looking down at a picture of, well, it's a Diglett, but we're assuming Dugtrio. And then they're all looking very concerned. They draw some hair on it. Shock face. At White Wing says, I don't really believe in spoilers. I can experience the awe of the new information when I get it. So it sounds like no matter how he gets it, he's happy to have it.
Awesome.
And thank you for your feedback. We love your iTunes and Google Play subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes, and we effing love Twitter, which sounds a lot like a bird-type Pokemon. And we like to tumble with you.
Practically a fletchling.
We like to tumble with you on Tumblr. You can email us at mail@stabcast.org.
Stabcast.org.
And that is our website, stabcast.org. It's a domain name.
Stabcast.org.
No tripod or GeoCities for you, unlike our old Pokemon fan sites back in the day.
What do you mean, back in the day? I have mine.
I actually, my Pokemon fan site never got off the ground, but yeah, you know, Pokemon fan sites were always pretty legit.
Something that basically everyone in this room probably did.
Something that we're basically doing right now.
I mean, I was big on the Bulba Garden community, so if any Bulba Garden community listeners out there, what? Yo, yo.
All right, so what's the next point in the show?
I think it's time to shout out to some of our favorite podcasts.
All right. Well, as ever and always, I'd like to throw a big shout out to the Voice of Geeks Network over at VogNetwork.com, where you can hear such shows as PokeStop. Join podcasting veterans Rob Roberts and Shane Alenko for a regular chat on Pokemon topics like the handheld games, Pokemon Go, and spin-offs of the franchise, as well as GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Where Slagkick and I talk about left-of-center gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. It is your twice-monthly port of call for such things. You should also check out the Ranger Pridecast, where myself and Shane Alenko talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current season of the Super Sentai meta series, upon which it's based out of Japan. Slaggy, what about you?
I recommend that if you like to say, "Oh, honey, did you see Dugtrio's new weaves?" then you might want to check out Reading's Fundamental, which is the podcast seasonally where myself, Spike, Delvin from Video Game Realness, and Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio and PokeStop and Guys on the Show serve tea and dish on everything RuPaul's Drag Race, hunty. We're wrapping up All-Stars Season 2, and let's just say that Alaska is the snake-type Pokemon. So we'll be going off-season for a little bit, but I'm sure we're going to be hearing within the next couple months about a release date for Season 9, so probably won't be too far off from then. And, of course, I'd like to shout out to Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice. That's Orange Lounge Radio, not the Orange Islands Radio. They're the longest-running video game radio show on the internet, and they air live every Sunday, so you can participate over on the VoiceOfGeeksNetwork.com, VOG Network.
It's super effective. PKMN Cast, a Pokemon website for news and reviews that explore the ins and outs of the Pokemon franchise, covering the games, anime, and beyond. All this and a weekly podcast, Mythical, Mazes, and Magikarps. Taking two of the best aspects of geek life, GM Whitewing hosts a troop of unlikely heroes as they explore the Pokemon world of the past with classic D&D classes and villains. I'd also like to shout out to Extra Life, a fundraising foundation that once a year runs a 24, and in this case, 25-hour marathon of gaming to provide assistance to the Children Miracle Networks of Hospitals. This will be my fourth year participating in this fundraising campaign, and you can donate to us over at stabcast.org.
Oh, is that the time change?
Yes, it is happening on the date of the time change. Slykick, I believe we have music?
Well, I just have to say, as far as time changes, hey, it's just like that new TV special that was on Fox the other night. Let's do the time warp again.
It is nothing like that.
We have music. It's great. We got good music. You can listen to it. Our theme music is Professor Sycamore's Theme by Nathan Sharp, a.k.a. Nate Wants to Battle. You should go check his channel out on YouTube and buy his stuff on iTunes. He does all sorts of great anime and video game related covers and parodies, and we love to use his Professor Sycamore's Theme for our show.
Indeed we do. All right, Poke fans, it has been a fantastic Friday night. Thank you so much for spending it with us. I hope you have had half as much fun listening as we have had talking to all y'all out there in internet radio land tonight. We will be back at you real soon, but until then, keep catching, keep training, and
debutes. Serena to foco de Pokebijon.
Yo, yo, we're going to the Pokemon Chateau, yo, yo.
I don't like you for beating me.
Xander, speaking to your mic.
Speaking.